on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Everyone, welcome one, welcome all, welcome to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. My name is Tyler Carter.
My name is Cody Vancilellum.
My name is Eric Hessing.
And yeah, guys, we got a show for you. The season is here, basically. So we're going to give you guys a regular season offensive preview today. So in 2023, this offense did show a lot of promise. There's a lot of young players. Cody, like this, especially from what 2022 was, 2023 was definitely an experiment with this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what I saw, like, in 2022, there was just like, I mean, it's just a massive exodus of offensive talent. Guys like Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, Charlie Kohler, Chase Allen, you lose a lot of offensive talent. It's bound to struggle, and we found that out the hard way in 2022. Now, in 2023, we unfortunately, like, have to mention this, 2023, like, that offseason was a kind of another turbulent one because we lost talent, but not because of guys going to the draft, but because of the infamous gambling probe that took out our starting quarterback at the time, our starting running back at the time, and one of our main tight ends. But with that said, it allowed us to really see like Rocco Beck, Abu Salma, and like see what they could do. And right. It definitely showed in the second half of the season. Like the first half of the season, the offense, it was a struggle to watch at times. Just with how stubborn like coaching would be sometimes with doing certain plays when it wasn't working. But as we opened up the offense a little bit, we started to see a blossoming of Rocco Beck and Abu Salma. And those two are going to be the key highlights. And not to mention, we also saw Jaden Higgins get prominent stats towards that second half of the season as he got more comfortable in this playbook.
Yeah, man. And just formation of a receiver room now. It's just in one off season, it just changed just like that. And that's what I want to talk about because we got some dogs on this roster. So let's talk about start off with the quarterbacks and running backs. So Eric, let's have you chime in on this thing. What are your thoughts?
So really, when we're talking about the offense, it's really only one thing that I kind of want to talk about when it comes to the preview, like really want to like just hit the nail on the head, for lack of a better phrase. Every preview that, you know, the listeners are going to listen to, I'm sure they're going to listen to other media outlets about their previews, you know, in the coming weeks leading up to the season. And people are going to talk about, you know, all the running backs. Oh, we got this stable and all this new Dylan Lee guy and, you know, what have you, or all the transfer wide receivers that we brought in and whatnot. And they're burying the lead. The lead was and is that when we gave the ball to Rocco Beck to throw the ball and do with it what he will, we won games. Yep. When we had him give it to the running backs and whatnot, mm-hmm. doing the predictable plays, we lost games.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not trying to like, you know, be negative. I'm gonna go out on a limb very early in the show and say that Rocco Beck is the best quarterback to come to Iowa State, the most talented quarterback to come to Iowa State. Now that probably raised a lot of red flags because everybody's like, well, your quarterback you just had a quarterback going to the Super Bowl.
Huh?
And he's the most accomplished quarterback to come to Iowa State. Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy is a very, very, very talented quarterback, probably one of the best quarterbacks in the country the time that he was playing. Rocco Beck is a step above Brock Purdy. And I know that's crazy talk. And probably for the rest of this preview, I'm going to say to damper expectations for other position groups. But when I watch Rocco, I'm just like, he's flawless. He's incredible. He tore up Oklahoma State. They went to the conference championship. When we gave him the ball against Kansas, he tore him up. When we gave him the ball against Memphis, he tore him up. When we gave him the ball against Baylor, he tore him up. BYU, tore him up. Rocco Beck has not had, like, really a bad half of football at Iowa State. And that's how I feel about Rocco Beck. He's incredible.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, go ahead, Cody.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I think I actually do agree with you in terms of where put Brock Purdy and Rocco Beck in terms of best, like, talented Iowa State quarterback. Mm-hmm. I actually had a talk with some of my other buddies about this, and we were saying, yeah, I think, yeah, Rocco Beck is more talented than Brock Purdy, because at times while Brock Purdy was here, he would make mistakes that would, like, cost them drives and maybe games here and there. But Rocco Beck has clearly showed that he's not, like, he doesn't usually make those mistakes. I mean, it's very rare. I think the only kind of mistake that it comes off the top of my head is the Sebastian Castro pick six in the Seahawks game. But considering that was his second game as starting quarterback, I mean, he grew a lot from that Seahawks game. And again, I hate to give Iowa credit, but they're one of the top defenses in the country. So it is very difficult to play a game.
And Cartavius Norton ran the wrong route. He slipped.
Yeah, the
you can't slip against Iowa. You can't slip. You can't run the wrong route against Iowa.
You know speaking exactly of slipping. Yeah, speaking of slipping, I saw, like, there were times where our team would just slip all over the field. Now, I don't know if that's us not having good, like, balance or it's just field conditions, but I know our team, like, our players would slip quite a bit throughout the season.
Mm-hmm. I never got that, man. That's insane. Now let's talk about this running back room. This running back room is very, very interesting to me. We talked about Abu Sama and stuff. So we all got our thoughts about Abu Sama. I want to hear everyone's thoughts on Carson Hanson. Carson Hanson, I think, is going to be a guy who we're going to use a lot in the passing game on, like, swing passes, maybe some passes across the middle, like a little drag routes, a little veer routes, things like that. Cody and Eric, whoever wants to go first, give me your guys' thoughts.
It's all you, Eric.
Well, you know, it seems like every year when we come on here, we talk about how, you know, incredible our next running back is going to be. And, oh, look at the guys in the wings. And, you know, this year I'd probably say that we will have more of a running back by committee for the beginning of the season. But I think somebody, it'll probably be Abu, will emerge from the group and kind of be the bell cow back. Now, what is that 30 carries a game? Probably not. It's probably closer to 15 to 18. And then, you know, Carson Hanson will get, you know, 8 or 10. And then we'll bring out Dylan Lee and Jalen Jackson for a couple of them, for a couple plays, maybe get the ball a couple of times a game. But I'm very, you know, interested to see Abu Sama's progression over this offseason. This is the most critical offseason of his college career, because he's going from year one to year two. He's put on a little bit of weight, so he's now probably like 205. He's good height too. So he's a solid size running back, very fast. And I'm expecting the running backs to look a little bit different than they have in the past, because our backs, we usually, it was handoff, you know, run it up the middle type, you know, between the tackles type running, maybe off tackle some of the plays, but we really try to utilize our line. Now I think we're going to try to, you know, the offense will be tailored to go through the hands of Rocco, and there'll be a lot of RPOs. And we'll be dumping the ball off to our running backs, because our running backs now have a ton of speed, but they're not as big. Carson Hansen's pretty big, but he's more versatile than the other running backs that we've had, or like Breece Hall, where it was a no-brainer. You just hand it off to him.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to utilize the running backs as much this year, but where we are going to use them is going to look significantly different as well.
Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, that's a big possibility. Now, you mentioned like maybe not utilizing them as much. I kind of thought about maybe like not utilizing them in the like the textbook way of handing them off, like you alluded to. But I'm thinking maybe we can use them in like more passing situations. Mm-hmm. Like you said, RPOs and whatnot. But I mean, if you do want to run it, and now that we have more speed, I would love to see plays where we try to like go like lateral, just try to go lateral and try to get the edge over like some of these like the defenses. Cause I think these guys are very capable of beating some of these defenses to like an angle and whatnot, and maybe getting like better yards there rather than just running up the middle when we don't have a guy who's pretty huge. Like we don't have guys built like Derrick Henry in our running back room.
I was saying that last year. I was saying, dude, we need to run to the sidelines. Running up the middle is not going to work. And look what happened when we ran to the sidelines. Yeah. Like, we got tons of yardage.
Now, Derrick Henry's only as good as if he's, you know, running against two guys or maybe one guy. One guy. And, I mean, he only has one arm to stiff arm with. So we need to find a way to get our guys into space. And Carson Hansen and Abu Sama are both very, very fast running backs. I think they're going to be the two feature guys. I know we're hearing about another guy. And Tyler, I don't know if you wanted to talk about him.
Yeah. I know everybody is very, very enamored with Dylan Lee. But I think, you know, I think we should maybe hamper expectations on Dylan Lee a bit. We got to remember, guys, he is a freshman, and this is going to take probably at least half the season. Like with every Cyclone running back that we've had within the last 10 years, like they've had an adjustment period. And then there's usually that point in the season where it's literally near the middle or the end of the season where they pop off in one game. We're like, okay, he has arrived. But I don't think we're that type of team anymore.
And here's the thing, Tyler. The 2 years that we saw the emergence of a freshman running back at Iowa State. Now it happens. I mean, well, it happens all the time where we bring in a guy like Daron Hollis and then he runs through a 70-yard touchdown. We think he's going to be the best thing ever. And then he never plays again and transfers. But the years where we saw that freshman come in and emerge was 2016 and 2019.
Yep.
And, I'll say this at the beginning before I go too far. I think Dylan Lee is one of the best running back prospects to come here. He's big, he's tall, he's physical, he's fast, and he's got crazy agility. Jukes the mess out of people. I think he's an NFL running back. All that, you know, really good. Here's the other part, though. The 2 years, 2016, 2019, that we saw David Montgomery and Breece Hall take it over halfway through the season. The reason why they took it over is, one, we had incompetence at the running back position, plus we were losing games. Matt Campbell has showed that he's not going to make drastic changes like that if it's working. It wasn't working. I mean, we were literally we were dumping off balls to Kane and Johnny Lang in 2019 in the West Virginia game. They're pick-sixing them off their hand, doinking it off their hands. It's like they were at the time, and I gotta be being nice to people. Thank you for being a Cyclone. They were losing us the game. They were, it was incompetence at the running back position. I think that if we are seeing a lot of Dylan Lee, either he's in the Heisman conversation or Abu Sama and Carson Hansen are really struggling. And I don't want to be in that second one.
Right.
I don't want to be in the latter.
Me neither.
I want to win in Iowa City, okay? I really want to win in Iowa City.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Real quick.
It's why we saw Abu last year.
Right.
Because we had two running backs that were kind of showing us that, you know, they're good players. They just can't get over the hump. So that's why we saw Abu. We can't move on to the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. It'll tire him out. I want to see some progression from our guys.
Right. I want to see a progression.
Yeah.
Cody, what was your thoughts?
Progression and consistency is like kind of what I want to see. Now, I did get to see I was able to go to the spring football game a few months ago, and I got my first preview of Dylan Lee. And you mentioned, he had agility. Like, he was getting out of sticky situation. He found holes and just darted right through them. And he was he was running right through our defense. And I'm not throwing shade to our defense. Our defense is pretty good. But I mean, when he's making moves like that, making them look like just high school boys, I think I'm pretty excited to see what Dylan Lee becomes in the next couple of years. Now, you said, that adjustment period, and that happens with all freshmen, because you imagine that you go from high school where you were bowling out all over the place to guys much older than you who are way bigger than you, way smarter than you at that time. So yeah,
I gotta say this. You mentioned the spring game, mm-hmm. and I just gotta bring this up because Tyler, I know that you weren't there. When Rocco decides to go to the NFL, and I hope it's this year because that means we had a good year. It might be next year, might be the year after. We are going to have a very difficult quarterback competition.
Oh, man, that quarterback is going to be insane.
I think the headlines were, people will bring it up, and I think it's been misrepresented on some of the, other media outlets.
Yeah.
I think that Connor Mobley is right there with JJ Cole. I think right there. Just looking at the two of them, I think if you had to tell me, hey, Rocco went down, who are you going to put in? I'd probably be like, who had the better week of practice? That would be the question that I would ask. Who had the better week of practice? It would have to come down to that. Connor Mobley, we're not talking enough about Connor Mobley. He may not have the impressive cannon that JJ has. He's not 6'7", 250 like JJ is, but that size, he has adequate size. And that's all I need from a quarterback is adequate size and adequate arm strength. I think that Connor Mobley has the it factor, similar to what Brock Purdy had. So,
yeah.
And that is the most important. That is the most important characteristic that a quarterback can have. Can they get it done? Mm-hmm. And I think that looking at Connor Mobley, he's an incredible winner, and that's what you need at quarterback. I mean, he's won how many state championships did he win? I mean, yeah, he had Abu and he had Caden Brock.
Yeah.
Still, you're playing Valley. You're playing other legit teams in the state. It's hard. You're playing
some of the top teams, in the
everybody
state,
wants you to lose. Everybody wants to be the team that unseats you. When they play Valley, they're like, "Oh yeah, it's Valley," and they're really tough, and we want to beat them. But when it's SEP, they're like, "We want to dethrone them," and they couldn't do it.
Yeah,
so,
And here's my thing. I live about 15 or so minutes from Southeast Polk because I actually went to high school not too far. I didn't go to Southeast Polk, but I went to high school in the Des Moines area. So I did get to catch a few high school games. And yeah, that Southeast Polk team was just so difficult to game plan. And put yourself in the perspective of a coordinator or head coach preparing for Southeast Polk. Not only do you have to deal with a talent of...
I don't want to.
It'd be a very difficult job. It'd be a commitment. You have to prepare not just for Abu Salman's running, but also Connor Mobley's, Yeah, but also you have to deal with Connor Mobley, who knows how to get the ball into the place where he needs to get it in order to win. And you have also one of the top linemen in the country, Kaden Proctor. Good luck getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, I would love to go up to every D-line coach and be like, yeah, my defensive end is 5'11", 210 pounds. Buddy, your assignment is Kaden Proctor.
Like, imagine, like, you just got done. Like, you just got done taking, like, a high school geometry or algebra test, and that's what you have to do, like, later on today.
I'm going to die. I remember when I tweeted out, like, Kaden Proctor. I was, like, talking about it. Kaden Proctor and his size and, you know, his offers and all that, because I did a podcast with him, and I said he was like 6'7", 335, just like, yeah. And like highlighting how big that is. And he comes back and goes, I'm 345 now. I'm like, good night.
Oh my God.
I'm going to die.
you're gonna end up in like IHOB with how many pancakes he's going to make out of you.
Every D end is like, I'm in danger.
Exactly. Yeah, I might want to start booking a trip to IHOP.
Mom, I want to go home.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa. Boy, it's too damn bad.
Too damn bad. That's too damn bad. You can't make it. But, yeah. All right, let's get into what I think is going to be the heart of this offense, which is the offensive line, y'all. Like, this, like, y'all, we have heard, like, this is going to be the best offensive line this year. And I have been hurt so many times by that statement. Eric and Cody, like, this, like,
Tyler.
Eric, give me some hope here, man.
No, you know, I'm going to try to be as optimistic as I can. And, you know, me saying that means something else. But anyway, I'm spinning in my head. I'm very hopeful that these guys have improved. I think year two of Clanton in the rebuild of this offensive line, to be honest, what Clanton inherited was an atrocity. And it's no offense to any of these guys, because Jeff Myers left a disaster. I'm not ripping on anybody. I'm not ripping on the players especially, but that's what it was. I mean, I remember sitting 2022 freezing in a Texas Tech game. Cody, I don't know if you were there. And I'm watching us just at the goal line of the north end.
No. I just took off the glasses. I know exactly what you're talking about. What you're talking about.
And I'm sitting with some people that, you know, are very close to the program. And I'm watching poor Eli Sanders just run into a brick wall, trying to push it in. We are down a touchdown. And we are at the goal line. And we can't do it.
Yeah, you know,
there's a lot of people to blame when that happens. You know, and
let me just hop in real quick. Like, you have to put this in perspective. We had two trips at the goal line, and we needed a touchdown, and we tried to run the ball for all of those plays. Did nobody like pick up? Hey, our line's not playing that well at the goal line.
We were 4-6 at the time, Cody. We were 4-6. This is not about getting to a championship game. This is not about anything other than heart and pride. You have heart, and we couldn't do it. And it's nothing against those guys. Because guess what? The defense also knew exactly what we were going to do. It's about heart. It's about pride. And, you know, after that game, I'm sure that the coaching staff reevaluated like the whole philosophy of the thing. And that's why we brought in Ryan Clanton. And I wasn't expecting big things year one from Ryan Clanton, because you're setting yourself up to fail if you're expecting big things for a new offensive line scheme with the same players and blah, blah, blah. It's you're just setting up expectations that you can't achieve.
Right.
I'm optimistic for this year, knowing that this is year two of Ryan Clanton. We brought in Jalen Travis. I think he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving Hufford around. I think Brendan Black will be a Cyclone legend when he's gone.
Oh,
I don't know how high his upside is because I haven't seen him very much. But I think he's one of those guys who could flirt with the NFL when it's all said and done. He's big and he's nasty and mean like that.
Yeah.
But that he's the type of guy who really succeeds in college at right guard. And, you know, we have Tyler Miller, who I think, you know, started to figure it out later in the season. James Neal, I think, will be at right guard. So that's probably our offensive line. And then we'll, mm-hmm. you know, whoever flourishes in camp, you know, might get a spot. I think really the only position that's really open is left guard. And I think that will be James Neal. But I'm cautious because I've been told this lie every season. And it's not even just the Matt Campbell. It's like Paul Rhodes. And even like before, it's just like we've greatly improved. They're looking really good. And I'm cautious because I don't want to get my heart, you know, beat up again.
Yeah.
So do I think they have every chance to be significantly better, but I'm going to be cautious. I'm not going to just come out right and say they're going to suck because they didn't suck, but I'm cautious. I'm really cautious and I'm really hopeful.
Yeah.
All right, Cody, what did you have to say?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the offensive line. I mean, at this point it's a meme within like, Iowa State Twitter, dare I say, it's become a meme at this point where we always talk about the O-line, the expectations we finally get something, and then it just dead on arrival. But I mean, I've seen what Ryan Clanton has done, and yeah, the line's definitely improved. Now, he always preaches like our guys being as violent and as aggressive as possible because we have to set the tone. And for the longest of time, our offensive line has never been able to do that. But I'm pretty hopeful. I have cautious optimism that our offensive line, because we know the meme of in the trenches, Matt Campbell always preaches about it. It's the margins, it's in the trenches, whatever. And we haven't been very successful in the trenches recently, but like, I have cautious optimism that we can like turn it around, start to see improvement. And I mean, the guys are definitely buying in. Like, there's no question about it. Those guys are really bought in. They really love Ryan Clanton. Like, I did hear a few interviews that with Ryan Clanton, like, and he's definitely a really like cool guy, but he knows how to get the best out of guys. And all I want to see, if there's anything I want to see out of this offense, it doesn't matter what anything else happens. This is kind of like my caveat in the field. I want to see our offensive line start to push defensive alignment around, and if possible, absolutely pancake any like defensive back who tries to come after Rocco.
Yes.
I need to see
pancake. About pride.
Yeah, our boys. I want to see
about
our
heart.
Boys. Yeah, they got to eat their steaks before the game. I don't care what they got to do. They got to eat their steaks before the game. We might have to buy up all like the stock of Fairway, Hy-Vee, wherever we got to go. We got to feed these boys protein. And these boys got to hit the gym hard. And
that's what I want.
I want to see pancakes. I want Jack Trestaden to look like IHOP with all the pancakes.
Hell yeah.
Do you guys ever watch Dr. Phil?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the main things that Dr. Phil says is you don't reward bad behavior, okay? And you can kind of extrapolate that where if you have a guy dropping balls, a receiver dropping balls, or running backs fumbling the ball, you can't reward them by giving them the ball again. You gotta tell them, we don't do that here. This is a very similar thing for me when talking about the offensive line. And this is kind of what I want to highlight. We know that, you know, we've had some offensive line struggles in the recent years, and it's cost us some games. It really has cost us some games.
Right.
When Dr. Phil talks about it, he's like, he talks about several other things that are adjacent to that topic. If you are addicted to cigarettes, or let's say you're an alcoholic, The one place you don't want to go if you're an alcoholic is a bar or a liquor store. I guess those are two places. But, you know, somewhere that sells copious amount of alcohol, and that's really all they sell.
Right.
If you're an alcoholic, you don't want to put yourself in that situation. You know, if you're, you know, if something else is wrong with you, you don't want to go where you can be, you know, enticed to doing bad things. It's the same thing for – I view this the same philosophy for the offensive line. We know we've had struggles with the offensive line. We know it's going to take them a while to figure it out. We can't be a run-heavy power team then. We have to throw the ball around. We have to make them as little of a factor in the result of the game as possible.
Right.
That's kind of why we need to go air raid. And when we did that last year, we won a lot because Rocco is really good.
Yeah.
A few last things. Can we please get out of our own way? Because I'll tell you why. Because we fooled ourselves. Because remember during the BYU game, he went when Abu went off in that game. Mm-hmm. And what happened the next week? We rushed for 9 yards against Texas. Abu Sama goes off for 250, 275, something like that.
270 some yards and what was it, three or so touchdowns?
Yeah, 276, three touchdowns. What do we do in the bowl game? 0 yards. One of the things I want to see, y'all, is consistency. Consistency from the first snap of the game to the last snap against K-State or wherever our last game is. I want to see that all the time. Offensive line is a want-to position, man. It is heart and effort, like Eric said. But I want to see that all year long, bruh. And then another thing I'll add before we go to the receivers and tight ends. One thing I want to add is, when you were talking about Jeff Meyer, Eric, it takes a while, especially when you're coaching different guys, to coach out bad habits. And, you know, that's why I'm a lot more excited about the younger talent that we do have, because at least they're learning under Clanton. So a lot of the habits that Clanton is teaching them, it'll be ingrained into their heads. So, like I said, this is going to be the key to the season right here offensively, I think. So with that, let's go into the wide receivers and tight ends. This position, tight ends, historically, at least under the Campbell era, has been one of our most crucial positions. And let's start off with Ben Bramer. Ben Bramer had an excellent freshman year. He came onto the scene. Let's talk about him for a bit. What are your guys' thoughts on him?
Ben Bramer will be a 90 overall rated on the new video game by the end of the season. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. Facts.
He's ridiculous. He's if we're talking about best players, on the offensive side of the ball, he's definitely the second best player. Like, today. Right. He's incredible. If we're talking about best players on the whole team, you could probably throw Bo Freeler in there and, you know, guys, maybe a couple other guys. I can't think about it really quick. But, yeah, he's due for a really big season, and he'll have about as big of a season as we allow him to. Now we have to spread the ball around a little bit, but I know they're itching to give him the ball. He's such a mismatch. He's 6'7", 250 pounds, and gallops.
Right.
Dude.
When we got him, when we pulled him away from Nebraska. He's from small town Nebraska, and we pulled him away from Nebraska.
That's crazy.
Dang.
When we got him, I was like, they don't even know what just happened. He was the best tight end in that whole class. And there was a five-star tight end that went to USC, and Ben Bramer's better than him. So we'll see how much he impacts in the blocking game. You know, we'll see. I don't really want him there, though.
Right.
I want him catching balls. Right. He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Who are you going to put against him? Are you going to put against him a cornerback? No. A linebacker? They can't catch him. The linebackers can't catch him.
No.
You're going to put a safety against him? Good luck.
Dude, he's going to go up like, yeah, when you mentioned 6'7", you could possibly like throw me like a 50-50 ball. And if he's going up against a safety, he significantly has the advantage over. He's more than likely coming down with that football. Unless the safety makes an absolutely good play, he's coming down with that football.
Right. He's a mismatch nightmare, dude. And another guy I want to talk about who's been emerging, I think, in camp is Cooper Alexander. I think he might be able to see some time on the field this year.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I will say when we were recruiting Keaton Roskopf last year, and Keaton Roskopf committed to us, and he committed over Texas A&M, and he's another guy that I want to talk about here in a second. But right when we got Keaton, I was like, yeah, he's a really good tight end. You know, he's from Linmar. Texas A&M wanted him. A couple other schools wanted him. Kansas State wanted him. Like, yeah, this is probably a really good prospect for us to get in this class. Awesome. And then it started rumbling that we're recruiting a second tight end. I was like, why? Why do we need a second tight end? We got Keaton. Keaton's really good. Now, Keaton is going to play fullback. So when you look at guys like Jared Russ and Steve O'Klotz, imagine a 4-star level talent at that position that got offered from Texas A&M and Kansas State and all that. Because we've really only had walk-ons that played that position. So you could probably imagine an actual, like, really, really athletic player playing there. Now, when I heard that we were recruiting another guy, I was like, okay, well, how good is this guy? Cooper Alexander is legit. He is legit, legit. And if we didn't have Ben Bramer, I think that Cooper Alexander would be up there with some of the other guys, Gabe Burkle and Andrew Keller, to be starting this year. Ben Bramer is going to be the starter. He's ridiculous. But Cooper Alexander is like right in the mix with those other guys. And those other guys have been here for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think will we see Cooper Alexander like a crazy ton? No, unless he's really that good. But I think we will see him some a bit. And, you know, he'll come in for, you know, when we're, you know, blowing out Iowa and them just to rub it in their face. But yeah, for this year, I would kind of, you know, damper those expectations of seeing him a lot, but we will see flashes. So.
Nah, I'm with that. And you brought up, I'll let you go code after this. You talking about Gabe Burkle and Andrew Keller, they're both coming off injury. Gabe Burkle, he showed in the limited snaps that he did play, he did show a lot. He has very, very good blocking ability. Can do some stuff in the receiving game. I'm excited to see what Andrew Keller can do, too. All right, Cody, I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, this tight end room, like, this is kind of like where I like to go here. And real quick, yeah, I think just the amount of guys that we recruit at tight end is going to be, like, crucial. You mentioned Cooper Alexander. I got to see some of his stuff, and he's looking pretty solid, so he could be a definitely good asset. But just the tight end room in general is looking like a pretty good like place right now. And I think I want to highlight more Ben Bramer if he's going to be our main guy. I think Ben Bramer is going to be perfect for like those third downs when you're trying to move the sticks. He can be like a safety blanket, say like Jalen or Jaden Higgins is covered or whatnot. Ben Bramer could be a guy that you can go to like kind of in the middle of the field, like a little bit up, like maybe past the linebackers or in front of linebackers, and you can trust Ben Bramer to pick up those important yards.
Go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
Yeah, completely agree, man. Just like we talked about it in the preseason offensive preview about I made the NFL comp. From when Dak first came into the league and he had Jason Witten, just to be able to find him on third down on that little seam route that he's been running all his whole career, it maybe hit Bramer on that with Rocco. Like, I mean, not saying that, you know, that's the NFL comparison, but like, it's just like having that safety blanket in an offense, it just makes it more comfortable and you'll have everything at your disposal. All right, Eric, you go ahead.
How tall is Sebastian Castro?
You got
He's like 6 feet tall, about
6 feet tall.
He can't be much more than 6 feet tall.
Yeah. I would guess probably not anything.
I think we need to do get the ball first down in Iowa City.
Oh, he's not even 6 foot, he's 5'11".
All right. Get the ball first down. Iowa City. First quarter. Line up Ben Bramer against Sebastian Castro.
Just
put your manhood on the table and just be like, this is how this afternoon's going to be, dude. And just run a fade route. Just run a fade route to Ben. Just a jump ball. Let him come down with it right over Sebastian Castro. Set the tone. Set the tone. Let's do it. Don't hand the ball off to whatever running back it is to run up the middle in Iowa City. That's also going to set the tone. Just fade route, Ben Bramer, right over Sebastian Castro. It's the first quarter. You got a lot of time to make up for it if it's not successful.
Right.
Show them who's boss. Set the tone. Ben Bramer can do it. I'm sure Ben Bramer would want to do it. I'm sure that, you know, Rocco would want to do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Rocco kind of wants that revenge on maybe on Castro, because like that literally was the difference in the Seahawks game. Like the only difference, like the main difference between us winning and losing was that Sebastian Castro picked six. But like you said, set the tone. Yeah, let's just throw out what we've done before, what Kirk Ferentz and like and all that Iowa, everybody knows what we're doing. Throw it out the window. Throw it out like when you as soon as you hop on the bus from Ames to Iowa City, you got to throw out everything you've done to that point. Out, and you got to bring in something new. You got to set the tone. And dare I say, either Sebastian Castro gets mossed by Ben Bramer, or he gets trucked by him. Those are one of the two things. Those two things have to be the first thing I see in that Seahawks game on CBS.
Set the tone, and like, I'm totally for getting weird. Now this is totally armchair dumb fan talk right here. I want to see how long we can go in the Seahawk game without running the ball. Can we go a whole quarter without running the ball? Let's throw the ball the entire time. Let's do it.
Yeah, make their defense work for it. Instead of just giving it right to them on a silver platter.
As a fan, and this is totally as a fan, this is not like as a coach and like scheme it up. I don't like us seeing running for 2 yards in the Seahawk game. Or 2 or 3 or even 4 yards in the Seahawks game. Because I know that that's what Iowa wants us to do.
Exactly.
I don't want to do what they want us to do.
Yeah. I don't know how I would try to play their game.
I want to do what frustrates them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Iowa never gets frustrated on defense. Unless they're playing Penn State or Ohio State or those teams. And those teams are good, yes.
Yeah.
Do we belong in that conversation with Penn State? Do we belong in that conversation with Minnesota? I mean, Minnesota beat them. We cannot let that, vaunted Iowa defense. We can't let that scare us. We can't. They don't have Cooper Dean anymore.
Yeah. Every offense and defense has its weakness. Like, we should be able to figure out. Like, I think the reason why Iowa's defense is so vaunted is because teams, just for whatever reason, they kind of, like, overcomplicate things against that Iowa defense. Now,
they're afraid to fail, and that's why they lose.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, yeah, that's what it is. Like, they don't want to take a risk, and that's what you have to do against this Iowa defense. Like I said earlier, you have to make them work for their stats and whatnot. And I think on paper, we should be able to really give this defense a test rather than just letting them dictate everything, because that's what Iowa State, unfortunately, has done for the longest time. They've tried to play Iowa's game, and that has resulted in us losing the last 7 of 8 or however many, like, Seahawks games that has gone on. And Iowa fans love to rub that in our face. That's why I know it. They always love to rub it in our face, and I'm absolutely sick of it. I have been in Iowa State basically for however many years, 2 years now, and I have grown an absolute hatred for that team out east. It disgusts me.
Just ask to see their diploma.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, like... The last time, like, this is not football related, but the last 2 times I've gone to Iowa City, I've actually hated that place. Now, the first time I went was for Seahawks volleyball, And I went there with a couple of buddies, and safe to say that building was depressing. They had no students. I actually had to deal with three guys trying to pester me, like, on Hunter Decker's this, Hunter Decker's that, Moneyline this, Moneyline that. But then they didn't want to keep that same energy for when we came back. I was so ready to give them the heat, and they just booked out the building. So they can get on you only when, like, they have the advantage. But once you fight back on them, they run. They run like crazy.
Where do you find Iowa diplomas?
The bottom of whatever.
No, at Walmart between the Charmin and the Angel Soft.
Anyway, and that's an insult.
What
that's
else do you want,
dude,
Tyler?
That's an insult. No. That's an insult to Charmin. That's an insult to those two brands. Like, what are we talking about? That's an insult.
Anyway, what else do we got, Tyler?
Wide receivers. But before that, I just wanted to say, you know, about you guys going back and forth on us trying to play like them. Cody, when me and Eric were in school, we beat Iowa 3 out of 4 times.
We beat Iowa 3 out of 4 times.
Wow. And you want to know why we beat Iowa out of 3 to 4 times? Because we didn't try to play like them, and we threw the ball. We spread the ball down the field.
We gave the ball to Steele Jance and Sam Richardson. And said, go win a game, and they did.
Yes. Legendary Steel Jance, let's go. Yes.
The legend of Steel Jance for Heisman, all that. But, like, yes. Like, there's a pattern that I'm sensing here, guys.
I totally thought Steel Jance was going to win the Heisman. You couldn't tell
everybody
me.
That.
Are you? No.
That hot day in September, I said Steel Jance for Heisman, and I meant it. I meant it. And then we went
sure
out.
Sure did.
Then we went out, and I didn't watch a minute of that Connecticut game because I was just hanging out with some buddies. And I saw that we won. I was like, this dude is going to win the Heisman, even though he had an all-time horrible game against Connecticut. I was like, this guy is totally going to win the Heisman. We're going undefeated. This is going to be incredible.
Nah, man.
And then it all fell apart.
And then it all fell apart.
But hey, the legend lives on forever. Like, it's a fun chapter in Iowa State lore.
It sure is. But back to what I was saying. Like, I'm sensing a pattern here. Like, you saw 2021 Purdue. Iowa State came into that game, or not Iowa State. Iowa came into that game undefeated, and they won.
They had just knocked off Penn State that previous week, I believe.
Right.
They had just knocked them off.
And then Purdue came in there, threw all over them. David Bell went off for like almost 200 yards receiving, and they won 24-7. So you realize that in Iowa's type of play, they lose to teams that either can out physical them, like Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, or teams that spread them out, like Tennessee did, or like Purdue did in 2021. Like, there is a certain type of way to attack them. I want to see us do that.
That Penn State game in 2021 against Iowa, and I know that we're talking about way too much about Iowa in this preview, but that Penn State game is probably the most frustrating game I've ever watched as a college football
player. I was like,
because Penn State would have destroyed them if Sean Clifford stays healthy.
I agree.
Then
Taquan Robinson or whatever his name was comes in. And I'm sure the guy's a nice stand-up guy. Maybe not. I don't know. I think he's still playing, to be honest. But
I think
he was
before he transferred, yeah.
He was horrible. he was horrible. Absolutely horrible. And, I mean, even on the Solid Verbal, like that show, like they were talking about that game and they were talking about that guy. And they're like, because one of the hosts is a Penn State grad and whatnot. And they're like, even that guy on a national show said, I don't think this guy's good enough for college football.
I'm watching
this game. He's going, they are not doing anything, and they're still beating Iowa because they got up 2 scores early.
Right.
Most frustrating. Do you remember that game, Cody?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Okay, yeah, because I had just gotten out of straight out of high school, whatever. So I just had some free time. I was like,
awful.
And I just turned this on, listen, awful. I'll admit it. I am a college football. I am a sicko for college football.
We all are.
Yeah,
welcome to the club.
Let's see. I've put myself through how many years of Iowa? I'll admit it. And I grew up in an Iowa household. Like my father was big in Iowa, so I kind of just grew up watching it. So that was kind of like it was just wild. But yeah, that game just. And I think you mentioned we talk about Iowa too much, but I think it leads into something bigger for Iowa State, because I think Iowa is the big the first big test for this offense. And
right.
To see where we're at, whether we're going to be great on offense or we're just going to just be meh.
Should we talk about something that Iowa knows nothing about in wide receivers?
Yes.
You're right. Yes. Let's go.
Look at that transition.
That was excellent. Excellent.
Professional right there.
Professional. Very, very professional. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about Jaden Higgins, man. Jaden Higgins.
Let's talk about him.
Bro, he was a revelation last year, bro. I saw something in the first game against in the Seahawks game last year. He had a great game, and they had scored a touchdown to get us back in it. And then he just went off the second half of the year.
Right.
I have sky high expectations for him. What do you guys think?
I'll let you go, Cody.
Yeah, just watching the progression of Jaden Higgins throughout that entire year, it honestly was a great revelation. Now you have a guy who is a threat, you can put Jalen Noel in the slot because he's a small receiver. You now have kind of more of that jump ball guy, or guy who can go much deeper, in Higgins, because he's the guy that you go for if you want to attack down the field. While Jalen Noel is the guy that kind of attacks more like that slot receiver, can pick dice you up in the middle of the field. I remember which game it was. I mean, even in that Oklahoma game, even though we got absolutely blown out, he still had a really good touchdown caught over the middle of the field in stride by Rocco Becht. And this alludes back to letting Rocco Becht do what he does best in being the quarterback of this offense, leading the offense. He had a long touchdown that I'm like, yeah, this also confirms that Jaden Higgins is a really good weapon for us. And just that growth is not. What else can you ask for? And he's clearly taken on to this team well, and he really loves being here. Like, listening to him in numerous interviews, he really loves Ames. He loves, the team, and he just loves, being a part of this community. So it's really great that we got not just a great receiver, but a really good person.
Right.
If Jaden Higgins can produce in a similar fashion to Xavier Hutchinson, I think we are looking at one of the best receiving cores that has come to Iowa State. Now, it's pretty difficult rivaling with the 2017 one with Allen, Hakeem, and Matt Eaton.
Yeah.
You can throw a couple guys, other guys in there. But I think that the core as a whole, I mean, Jaden and Jalen are really, really good wide receivers. Really, really good. I think Jaden has the opportunity to, get drafted pretty early if he has a special season. I think Jalen Noel can get drafted. But there's the real notable thing about this wide receiving room is this receiver core is we're going to have a lot of guys that make all the old casuals in the fan base look at their paper directories or whatever they're called. Programs.
Oh, yeah. Programs. Yeah.
They're going to be looking at their programs, because I think that I'm not sure who our third starting wide receiver will be. I have no idea. This is a camp decision. There's certain decisions on every team for every year that they're decided in camp. That third wide receiver is going to be decided in camp. And it's either going to be Daniel Jackson, who I think is a really good, reliable wide receiving option. He's been here for a couple of years. We saw him in the Oklahoma State game look really, really good. And I don't know what happened but he kind of, didn't have the production that we thought after that game. But then Elijah Green is a really special transfer. And Isaiah Alston, really, really special transfer too. Mm-hmm. Those guys, I don't know who's going to shake out. I don't know who's going to win out. I think it's between those three for that last starting spot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have three guys fighting for it, it's, you know, it's really too close to tell. I think that Elijah Green and Isaiah Alston are going to kind of have what we've seen with a lot of transfers where it takes them a couple games to get up to the speed of the Big 12 and get used to their new home and the offense and all that. We saw it with Jaden Higgins last year. We didn't really see it with Xavier Hutchinson, but he was more of a JUCO guy. But we've seen it with, you know, multiple other positions. We also see this big time in basketball. We've had some more notable transfers in basketball. We've seen it with that, with like Hassan Ward and other guys like that. But I think those three are going to battle out. But other guys that are going to be have all the old casuals look at their programs. Benny Ngoyi is a really special talent. And I think he could come in, and he will come in and, you know, provide good minutes. And the last guy, Tyler knows my love for this guy. I think Dominic Overby could be one of the best wide receivers to ever come to Iowa State.
Cody, bro, has crazy speed, man. He runs a sub-11 100-meter dash.
Oh, whoa. Hold on, Tyler. He's 6'4". Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He won the state championship in track. He's faster than Kene Wangu. And he's a four-star wide receiver, really good routes, good ball skills, just incredible find by Nate Pauley in Utah. Nate Pauley is probably, Nate Pauley's the coach that I don't think people talk enough about on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people talk about a lot of people, but I think he's the one guy that when fans are talking about coaches and whatnot, he's the one guy that I make sure to mention when, you know, I have discussions with my friends, because he's a really, really good coach. Look at the room that he's built, and it's year two for him. We're going to be riding on his back. And I really Dominic Overby is an incredible find. He's an incredible find.
Yeah.
I will be talking about him every week. Where's Dominic Overby?
Where is Dom Overby?
Hey, you know what? You never know. He might just go ahead and be like Kenny Wong, just go casually takes like a 90 plus yard kickoff for a touchdown. Who knows?
I don't think people understand how fast a 10-500 meter dash is. That's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Those are quick.
Yeah, I back to Benny Ngoyi for a second. I know y'all, like the bowl game, did y'all see like the body control he had on that thing? Like the speed itself mesmerized me. I'm like, bruh, like that was crazy.
He's actually going to be in proximity of the ball.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful throw by Rocco.
He put it in like the perfect spot. Like,
the fact that he had the speed to get there.
Now I'm going to be a realist. I'm going to need him stack games. I'm going to need to see him stack routes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
He had one catch last year. It was a beautiful catch. He got wide open. But I'm going to need him to see him stack games in order to like really fall in love with him. I think he has all the talent. He's a crazy athletic kid.
Right.
How big his role will be in this year's team. I think he'll get some significant playing time. I think he maybe gets 200 yards receiving, maybe a little bit more than that. So.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, yeah, because, I mean, we have the transfer guys, so I mean,
oh yeah,
I think he could probably break out more in, like, the 2025 season.
So. Yeah.
Like, if we're leaning on – and I'm not trying to downplay anything, but if we're leaning on Benny this year, what happened to Jaden Higgins?
Like, yeah. he probably got injured or like.
I don't want to hear that.
Dog, somebody will probably be so pissed off at Jaden Higgins, he probably tries to chop block him and take his leg.
They can't catch.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the only way I think Jaden Higgins is going out is if somebody deliberately targets him. And you know, I think the team's not going to stand for that. Like, this team is not going to stand for it. Like,
I can't wait for Jaden Higgins to play here for two seasons and to be, like, top five receiving in Iowa State history.
Yeah.
We need some of these guys on this team. And we say this every year, but we need some of the guys on this team to break some of these records. Rocco can break some records. Like,
absolutely. I'm sure Rocco will probably break quarterback records. We'd love to see Higgins break like wide receiver records.
I'm telling you now, I'm calling it now. Rocco is going to break the all-time passing yards in the season record.
Oh, this year? Oh, he absolutely could.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he could. Because
we don't have to go against Texas and Oklahoma anymore.
Right.
Thank the Lord.
That helps us on the offensive side. That helps us with everything. Because when we play a team like, I don't know, UCF, and they have to come up to Ames, they don't know what they're getting into. It's cold.
Especially it being in October. Like, if the climate is what usually happens in October, November,
Those UCF fans, they come up here and they hate it. The players, they're like, it's 50. We're like, yeah, it's warm.
50 degrees? Oh, that's just, I'm literally going to be wearing like khakis, my New Balance. I'm going to look like out here grilling in 50 degree weather. I'm doing fine.
Tyler would stay home.
Man, quit playing. Nah, he capping, bro.
That's Tyler every time the season goes. I go, hey, Tyler, you know, we're doing all right. You want to come out? It's cold.
Don't listen to this boy, man.
Meanwhile, like Eric, you said earlier, like you were out there in the cold during the Texas Tech game, dude. I was standing out in line for like, I think
where were you, Tyler? Where were you for that one?
At home in my warm bed. Nah, well, dog. If it's above like 25 degrees, or if it's below 25 degrees, I ain't gonna be there.
No, I know you're not. Sorry. That's stupid. It's stupid. I know you're drive out here. It's stupid to drive out here for that.
It is. Yeah, it's really bad.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but gratefully for me, I can literally just walk to the stadium.
Right.
Yeah, but you go out when it's like you camp out when it's that cold.
Yeah. That's more for basketball. That's more for basketball. I don't know, but the logistics of bringing a tent for
football. So. What I did for my senior year is I bought like regular season tickets. I didn't buy the student ones. One, because I just had so much work for school that like I couldn't wait out in the line anymore. But I was sick of waiting out in the cold all day. Mm-hmm. And right when I did that, if you like waiting out in the cold and being that guy that waits out in the cold, absolutely keep doing it. But once you see the other side, where you just could walk into the stadium 5 minutes after the game starts, you go, why did I ever sit outside? I got my seat. Nobody's going to be in my seat. And that's also why I did it. Because when you get the student tickets, like for some of those games, you don't know if there will be a seat.
Right, man.
Like the KU game in 2013, like they filled up 6 hours before the gates opened. Where they were like sending people home, so I can understand why you wait in line for those. But like, I got regular season tickets, so my seat is secured, and I was just like, I'll come 5 minutes late for every game.
KU 2013 for basketball, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah, worst game like, ever. Oh, dude, no, me and my buddies, no. I think I told Tyler this story, but for the Kansas basketball game this past year, I had actually so we had Kansas State the Wednesday before. So I skipped that game because I know I usually go to not all the basketball games, but I skipped that one because I had to like something to do with like school or whatever. But once like the line cleared, I got like a comfy chair or whatever. And I just sat out there until like the game ended and I started camping out like right after they let all the students into the K-State game. And then we brought like an ice shack and I basically just started this whole thing. So we camped out there for like 3 days.
Okay.
Eric, I told him to get us some exposure for this pod, bro. Like,
Oh yeah. We'll do a live stream, and me and you, Tyler, will be in the comfort of our own home, and you know, Cody will be on the side.
Cody, we're like, Cody, we need a live report.
Yeah, no, like, no. Actually, though, funny enough, I actually got like this big ice shack that could fit like 8 people in there, and
Cody will be doing Twitter live and just be like, "Hey guys, can somebody bring me a pizza, please? Can somebody bring me a pizza? I'm gonna starve."
No. The team that Friday before the Kansas game, they had actually brought us like food or whatever, just in general. So, yeah. But I mean, honestly, that's something I wouldn't trade for. Like, while I'm here, like I was at Iowa State student, I'm like, all right, I might as well do it. Screw it. What do I have to lose?
They should like, what they should do, you should like wait out there for like, I don't know, a week, and then try to get the basketball staff, like not the event staff, to wheel you in your ice shack to midcourt for at the beginning of the game. You come out, you're just like, I'm here. we should make it a whole spectacle.
I'm like, well, this guy, we'll see what happens, because so we have quite a few marquee home games. I mean, we got the Marquette game, we've got the Kansas home game, the K-State home game, the Arizona home game. We'll see what happens.
Take it all away. Make it like I'm waiting for basketball season. I'm waiting 2 weeks for this game, and then
so basically do like a mini like what they do at Duke. And now,
yeah, they wheel you into the stadium, and it's the whole spectacle of like, this Cody kid is nuts, but now we're gonna let him unveil him. He is the biggest hype fan. And you come out of there like you just woke up. It's like, finally, I'll never do that. I can't do that. The longest I've waited is, I think, 12 hours. KU game in 2013, I was still in the upper deck, and that was so cold. Oh, it was so cold, and we got crushed by Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. So anyway,
all right, y'all. One more last thing, I wanted to know. So last year, Cody, me and Eric did a show, and one of the things that we talked about were key performance indicators. So basically, like, is there a certain number or a set of things that you want to see for a certain, like, ball? Like, what do you want Rocco to throw for a certain number of yards to make it a successful season? Stuff like that. So, like, do you have any key performance indicators on, like, certain positions on where you want to see us as an offense?
I do. I want to see us throw on first down 40% of the time. That's every time we start a new set of downs, we throw 40% of the time. So yes, we are going to run more than we pass on first down, but I don't want to see us automatically be incredibly predictable and hand the ball off to a running back for it to be a dud.
Yep.
Every player knows, okay, it's first down. I mean, this is like very primitive. This is primary, where everybody goes, okay, what down is it? It's first down. Okay, we moved the sticks. We did what we needed to do. When they see that it runs for a dud, everybody knows. The whole football team knows. They're not stupid. They know football better than anybody in the stands. When they see that runs for a dud, they know how much more difficult it is for those next two plays to get across the sticks.
Right.
If they see some innovation and it just – when they see innovation and it just fails, they know we tried. If we just run up the middle and it goes nowhere in a cloud of dust, the whole team thinks we didn't try. That was boneheaded. You got to set the tone. I'm okay running it 60% of the time on first down.
Right.
Throw it 40%. And maybe that might be a little low. I don't know what the true number is of what we do and what, you know, what most teams do. But that 40%, I feel, is a good number. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I just need to see, like, love to see Rocco Beck. Like, I don't know, like, would be a good parameter. Like, maybe passing yards. I would love to see him, like, pause, like, get up in, like, that upper 2,000s. Like, maybe even 3,000 passing yards. maybe could see Jaden Higgins possibly be a 1,000-yard receiver. I think Knowles like more like maybe like 800-yard receiver, and you spread the ball throughout. And I want to see double-digit touchdowns, especially from Higgins. You can possibly throw on Knoll, but I want to see like mainly like Jaden Higgins be the guy that like can get you a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I think for me, if Rocco is north of 3,000 yards for us this season, I think very, very good things are going to happen for us. Jaden Higgins, I think he'll be a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he'll have 10, 11 touchdowns. Jalen Knoll, I think he'll have at least like 850, probably like 7 TDs.
Jeez.
And then, at least for me, let's move to, and then that's for passing game, running game. And I'll let your guys have your thoughts. But I'm gonna reminisce back to high school for a second. So, Cody, if you didn't know, I played running back in high school, fullback running back in high school. My coach always preached 3 to 4 yards a pop. 3 to 4 yards a pop. We talked about this in the preseason offensive podcast. 3 to 4 yards a pop, it would get you in the third and manageable every single time, man. So if we can average at least 4 to 4.5 yards a carry, I mean, that would definitely open up the passing game for us. Like, and hey, maybe like in some games we can pass to set up the run. Like Eric said, he wants to see 40%. Maybe in that 40% passing, that will set up our run game, and then we'll be really, really hard to stop. What do you guys think about that?
My key performance indicator for the run game is maximum of 2 negative run plays in the entire game.
I like that.
Yeah.
If we're going backwards,
that makes sense.
We're not doing the right thing. And right if we run for a loss twice, that needs to be a wake up call for our offense that hey, we need to figure some things out because this ain't going well. I'm not including sacks. I'm not including quarterback stuff like that. I'm talking about running backs. If we're not getting up the field, we're failing. So if we're not even getting a stalemate, we're failing. So
you always want to shoot for profit, whether it be a small one or a large one. You never want to take a loss, and it's just like that's simple business. Like that's simply how you move like through things. You get either profit or you lose, but you always want to see more profit. Now, like Tyler said, obviously 4 to 4.5 yards a pop would be great, but that can also be a possibility where like you could maybe like wear down like a D line, for example. If you are able to sustain like that, you are going to wear out that defensive line, those linebackers, and eventually you could either one bust out a pretty long run or even open up the pass game in the middle because the linebackers are not going to be as strong. They're not going to be as like sharp just because of how fatigued they are.
Yeah, completely agree, man. Guys, this was a great, great, great podcast, y'all. Let's. I like the energy for today, y'all.
Do you want to do the defense today? Let's do it all.
No, yeah, we're gonna do that later in the week.
Let's keep it going. Come on,
let's keep it going, man.
We're going on all night, boys. Let's go.
3 hours. Nah.
Bring it home, Tyler.
We're gonna do the defensive preview later in the week, guys. Thank you once again for joining the Believe in Iowa State podcast. This was a great show. I had fun, Eric and Cody. I can't wait to do this again later in the week. Once again, this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast with Tyler Carter,
Cody Van Celelum,
Eric Hessing,
and Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.
Go State.